bringing sanity and rational thought back to America. Rick Smith.
So since Wednesday, when Bernie Sanders and 16 other senators dropped the Medicare for All bill, which again, I've been calling for a very long time, and thank goodness we're seeing a move in the right direction. Ever since that moment when it was dropped, the right has been losing their mind. I've been slammed with emails of people going, we can't afford it, we're broke, we're in debt, this is going to cost $32 gazillion. It's the end of civilization if we give everyone health care. Which, again, as someone who is a rational thinker, I go, you know, everyone else in the industrialized world, they've figured this out. They've figured out how to make sure everyone gets quality, affordable care, and it doesn't cost anywhere near what we spend. I mean, at some point, don't facts matter just a little bit? That's why I've asked Richard Master to come talk with us. He is the founder and CEO of MCS Industries, also the executive producer of the documentary Big Pharma Market Failure and Fix It, Healthcare at the Tipping Point. Richard, thanks for taking time for us. Walk me through this. I mean, we're told constantly that, sorry, Richard, we'd love to have something as wonderful as single payer, as Medicare for All, but we're broke, man. We don't have any money.
Well, you know, actually, you don't have to be a progressive to be in favor of a single-payer healthcare system. You need to be a fiscally conservative human being in order to appreciate the economic benefits that come with single-payer. And that's the reality in a nutshell. I mean, if you look around us at major industrialized countries that maintain healthcare systems that cover all their citizens, you know, they're spending half of what we're spending on healthcare in the United States.
Right.
And so the single payer system, and I'm a business person, a very prudent, cost conscious business person who I run a $200 million consumer products company in Easton, Pennsylvania. So I'm not your typical progressive, although I have certainly humanistic views, and I would like to see everyone in the United States covered. But, you know, this is really the prudent best practice for organizing a healthcare system in the world. Single payer.
Yeah, I'm with you, but what do you say to the people who say, and I got this email 1,000 times, of saying, you know, the Urban Institute's claiming that $32 trillion it's going to cost.
The Urban Institute is wrong. You can stack up the Urban Institute superficial study with other more in-depth studies, University of Massachusetts. There hasn't really been a serious study done. Rand Corporation, they did one in Oregon. There's another study on the California system that show that particularly in California, the Poland study showed that Californians would save 10% on their healthcare system if they went to a universal government-sponsored or government-financed, meaning tax system-financed, healthcare system.
So when you say universal, when you say universal, because there's a lot of thoughts.
That means everyone is covered.
Right, but there are some people some people say a universal system is like our TRICARE system, where the government actually employs all of the doctors and all of the nurses and owns the hospitals.
That's not what we're talking about. All we're talking about is the way a system is financed. We want the current delivery of the system to continue to be private. So we'll have nonprofit hospitals, we'll have profit hospitals, we'll have independent doctors, and in fact, what we see in a place like Canada, there are more independent doctors in Canada than in the United States. You know, recently, all with the accumulation of power of our regional health networks, the doctors are really being collectivized. They're being forced into these massive health combines. Yep. And I don't think they like it very much.
No, they don't. In fact, you know, my little sleepy town doctor here just sold out to a giant conglomerate, and he hates it. But, you know, it's like, you know, he didn't have a choice. And this is where, you know, having a one system, one payer, to me, makes a lot of sense. And just having one giant insurance pool. You know, one of the facts I came across the other day is, you know, the public already picks up about two-thirds of the cost of healthcare. All we're really talking about in creating this single-payer system is, you know, the people who get their healthcare from employers, which in the future, and maybe you could talk to this better than anyone, the workforce of the future isn't going to be tied to one company for 40 years or even 5 years. We might end up in a gig economy where people are working for multiple employers at the same time.
Well, and that's true. And certainly the system we have right now, it's an incentive for employers not to hire people, actually, not to give them benefits, to have part-time employees that don't and that are essentially paid less. It's discriminates against older people because older people under the Affordable Care Act and previous legislation, the previous legislation an insurance company could charge an employer five times as much, and now under the Affordable Care Act they can charge three times as much in premiums for older employees, and that frankly may not even cover the cost of older employees. So companies like mine are incentivized to not hire or maybe to figure out a way to get rid of older employees.
Yeah.
So there's a lot wrong with our a lot inhumane in our current system.
Let me ask you about that, because you sound like a fairly progressive guy, a guy who wants to do the right thing, and I would assume that you offer your employees health care because it's the right thing to do. But do you really want to be doing that? I mean, you know, I've asked for years, you know, why is it that we're married to this employer-sponsored health care at a time when they just want to make their widgets, they just want to make their whatnots, they want to make their products focus on their business. They don't want to be benefit coordinators.
Well, you know, Rick, this is the legacy of the war industries after World War II. And I don't know if your listeners are interested in the long story, but, you know, these were a way that businesses could get employees when they needed to.
Right.
And they offered health care plans to get folks into really necessary industries. And that continued on, and then the insurance companies arose, and most of them were nonprofit in the beginning, and then they modulated into profit insurance companies because really health insurance providers figured out how can we get into this game and make some money, and so they isolated the healthiest, youngest employees, offered really great low cost insurance because guess what? Those folks don't get sick.
Right.
All right. And they older employees were stuck in these nonprofit plans, the Blue Cross Blue Shield plans in general, and they essentially went out of business and were absorbed mostly into the profit making insurance companies and even the nonprofits that emerged from this. Adopted the same commercial practices they had to of the more commercialized profit-making companies. And these companies have done very, very well. You know, they're doing, in the last 5 years, there has been certainly a growth in equities in stock prices, but the growth in insurance company profits and stock pricing has eclipsed other businesses in the stock market.
Yeah,
I mean, doing well.
For me, I just look back to, you know, you talk about the amount of profit. I look at the dollar Bill McGuire, the former CEO of United Healthcare. What was it? He took like $1.6 billion over a 4-year period. And you just go, you know, that's $1.6 billion that didn't take care of someone, which to me, having a profit motive assigned to healthcare, it should be outlawed completely, in my view.
Yes, and you know, the whole issue is, you know, what is the value proposition that in that commercial insurances or this whole insurance they provide to our society. You know, they don't provide care. Even by their own statistics, there's 17% administrative cost associated with them. In order for us to get insurance in our company, we have to pay an insurance agent's 3-4% as well. So, you know, and that compares with Medicare, that if you give a dollar to Medicare in taxes, you get 98 cents out to providers. That's hundreds of billions of dollars a year that other industrialized countries don't pay. The way we operate our system, the insurance companies, they're an anomaly in other countries. It's not necessary.
Yeah. You know, I've said if ours were such a great system, other people would be emulating it.
Yeah. You know, Warren Buffett, who's a pretty hard-nosed business person who runs Berkshire Hathaway and one of the wealthiest Americans, said it, you know, really correctly, that healthcare, that businesses are focusing on taxes and taxes and taxes, and he said that's misguided. They should be looking at healthcare. The cost of healthcare, he said, was, and I'm quoting him, the tapeworm in the belly of American competitiveness. And we're seeing it, you know. And it's really up to your listeners to make this connection. You know, when we do not get proper regulation of drug companies, when drug companies buy small biomed companies and they amass huge sums of money from Wall Street bankers and they exploit patents that on innovation that essentially was financed by the federal government, and there's laws about this stuff, you know? And we allow that to happen. We don't regulate that. That costs our businesses and ultimately working families big bucks.
Yeah. But again, we've already got these regulations, these rules on the books. It's a matter of enforcing it. And it comes back to the lobbyists and how powerful the insurance industry has gotten. So let me ask you this, because, you know, you immediately saw the insurance industry come out and say, it just can't. It can't happen. It's not going to work. It's impossible. It seems to me that this is the same rational way forward. As opposed to what we've been doing, the path that we're on, because you're right. It's going to take up in the next couple of years 20% of our GDP. At some point, the tapeworm is going to kill us.
That's it. You know, we've talked to a lot of physicians, some of them that have run their own practices, and they take us back, and everyone goes into the doctor's offices, and they go and they look in all the files and all the people that are responsible for interfacing with insurance companies. There was a study by the Commonwealth Foundation, a very respected foundation, that it cost every practicing physician $83,000 a year just to interface with the insurance industry and for the financiers of care. You know, in Canada, it's less than a quarter of that.
Right. Now, I would argue the Commonwealth Foundation is one of those groups who would be vehemently opposed to your single payer idea, though.
Well, they at least they've done this study. I don't think they're vehemently opposed to single payer. Essentially, what we want to do is we want to make the system more efficient. It's so complex right now. It's complex for your listeners to use. It's complex for our company every year to have to negotiate a double-digit increase. And I'm sure the business people who do provide insurance that are listening today have the same experience we have every year. It's a major challenge.
Yeah.
So we spend $2 million a year on insurance in our company.
So last question I've got for you, what do
$10,
we
do? $10 an hour for a family plan for one of our workers, $10 an hour. Okay.
Outrageous.
So what do you do about it? Well, I'll tell you what we've done is we've produced two documentaries, and they can be seen on fixithealthcare.com. Okay? They're also available now on Amazon. But you can get them for free if you just go on our website, fixithealthcare.com. We've also, if you're a business leader, and I'm actually, these are have general appeal, but they're really economic studies and very interesting. There are 14,000 DVDs out of our first movie, Fix It, Healthcare at the Tipping Point. The second one is Big Pharma Market Failure. So, you know, if you're a business leader, we want you to join Business Leaders Transforming Healthcare, which is an organization, a campaign run by the American Sustainable Business Council out of Washington, D.C. And then we're starting now a new program. It's called Business Initiative for Health Policy. And what this one is going to do is really focusing on educating the population on the benefits of a single-payer system. Business Initiative for Health Policy, you should look at that very, very carefully, okay?
Right. No, I mean, at the end of it, my view has always been, if this is going to change, it's going to be your class. It's going to be the employer class that's going to push this. And because the costs are just outrageous, and two, look, it's killing you, and it's not what it's not what you want to be doing.
We're paying $700 billion a year of a $1.1 trillion insurance bill in the United States. Now, and you were right in your remarks. You said that and look at the federal budget. The federal budget is now 27-28% healthcare. National defense is below 20%. I think it's around 16-17% of the federal budget. So healthcare is really impacting the budgets, and the Congress is beginning to get it. They're getting it. The Republicans have tried to, take down the Affordable Care Act. They realize they can't do that. It's not politically palatable throughout the United States. So they're painting themselves in the corner, and the only way out of that corner is through some serious structural reform, and that is essentially single payer.
I'm with you.
Yesterday, or 2 days ago, I was in Washington. I participated in the Bernie Sanders press conference. 16 senators have signed on to his Medicare for All bill. 6-7 months ago, I was in Bernie Sanders' office talking to some of his staffers, and it was like looking into a foxhole. I asked them how many senators were engaged in this. She said, "We don't know. We don't have any allies at this point." 6 months ago. So there is now this momentum as a result of the Affordable Care Act debate, and it's time for us to get out of our foxholes and start coming across the field.
Yep. You've got Max Baucus, who was the guy who stopped any single-payer talk back in 2010, coming out and saying, it's where we need to go. It just is. Richard, I appreciate you taking time for us. I'd love to have you come back and share some more thoughts with us.
Very much. I'd appreciate that, Rick. Thanks. Thanks for the time.
Good stuff. Love talking with you again. The website, you're absolutely going to want to take a look at these documentaries. Fixhealthcare.com. We'll get a link at therickSmithShow.com. If you can take a look at that. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Hear what I say.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.